and a world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Starting things here, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and General Galen Shaw, and a debate that we were watching. Have you guys seen much of it?
Well, I saw Bill Nye, the science guy, and this ham.
Yeah, I got a guy named Ham, which we were unable to get past it.
So you couldn't get past the guy's name, is that it?
You know, you'll never grow up, Bud, and be one of life's pivotal players if you're distracted by a guy's name. You understand that, don't you?
Yeah, it's just still pretty funny. Try to tell me it's not.
In other words, you guys didn't watch any of this debate. What happened, folks, was they had this debate on in the other room, which was between Bill Nye, the science guy, and the gentleman by the name of Ken Ham, debating evolution. Or creationism, if you want, debating either one of those. You know, one guy taking one. So Bill Nye was taking the evolution side, right, Margaret?
Yes, Bill Nye, the science guy. That's his name, and let's have some respect. And then Bud said, ha-hoo-hoo-hoo, the other man's name is Ham, and the whole thing went to hell. I got to tell you, I don't like starting the program with criticisms all the time, Phil, but while I'm trying to watch this debate, this one is going, ooh, his name is Ham. Is it pressed ham? Is it spank ham? You see what I'm saying?
So in other words, nobody got any essence of the debate because...
Yeah, well, because Dickman was over there with the...
Talk about spanking ham. I didn't spank ham.
Let me tell you something, Bud. You know, sooner or later in this world, a man's got to be a man. You can't just be a little kid for the rest of your life.
I know.
Well, if you know that, and people are trying to watch a debate, and you're getting sidetracked by some guy's name... then, you know, all bets are off. Your mind is the size of a walnut, your brain the same, your entire ability to understand the universe is pecan size, man.
Don't talk about walnut.
Whatever, man, it's the size of a small nut.
Yes, and I'm sure you can relate to small nut.
See, so I'm not allowed to say a ham, but she thought about small nuts.
My comment, how dare you?
All right, hey, watch it, will you?
My comment had nothing to do... My comment was simply small nut, as in...
Well, Margaret...
Well, it's...
It's not as bad as saying that a man, because his last name is Ham, is standing there for all the world paddling it, or pressing it against...
Were you saying that?
I'm saying, well... He thought if a guy's name is Ham, he spent his whole career pressing it up against glass, he'd never understand nothing else. Yes.
All right, well, you know, and I'm also surprised at you guys for taking the bait on all that stuff.
And what is that supposed to mean?
Why would you get sidetracked by this idiot talking about a guy's pressing ham? I mean, we're... Jesus.
Well, there you are laughing at it.
Yes, see, you're laughing at it, Phil, and it makes the entire thing just... It completely devolves everything to the level of sewage, really.
And all I said was the guy's name was Ken Press Ham.
Next time, I'm not allowing you in any room where there are adults.
Yeah.
Next time, I'm not allowing you in any room where there are adults. That's the answer to that. In any event, Bill Nye to defend evolution in Kentucky debate. I mean, that was the headline. Both of these guys seem, obviously, I'm familiar with Bill Nye. I'm not familiar with Ken Ham. Both of them were gentlemen. Both of them very learned men. Obviously, both with points of view that are diametrically opposed to the other. This was taking place at the Creation Museum, the Creationism Museum or something, Kentucky's Creation Museum, that's it. And this is where the debate was taking place.
Well, see, here's my philosophy on this. Can you believe that at this particular time in the history of this world that we live in, that there still is a debate about evolution, and yet they don't want to debate the global climate change theory?
Well, what side of that debate are you on?
What side of what? I believe in evolution.
No. What about the global climate change thing?
I believe that there is a global... I don't know, Phil.
Well, you're supposed to believe that there is global climate change if you believe in evolution.
Why?
That's what everybody does.
What do you mean, that's what everybody does? If you believe in evolution, doesn't necessarily got to believe in global climate change. Doesn't necessarily mean that at all.
Well, then, what is the side that the evolutionists take?
I don't think I'm going to tell you.
I beg your pardon, Phil.
I'm not going to tell you, because if I tell you, then you're going to take that side, because...
So you think I'm that much of a mental dwarf? Excuse my language, bud.
Don't talk about me. I'm not a dwarf.
Well, mentally. So you're that. You think I'm that much of a mental dwarf?
I don't think you're a mental dwarf at all. I'm saying that I would rather not tell you what side traditionally people who believe in evolution might take in the global climate change debate, because that might prompt you to take that side. Not because you're a mental dwarf, but because some people feel that there's more comfort in numbers and in being sort of politically consistent.
So, in other words, you think I'm a mental dwarf.
Margaret, I didn't say that.
He's not saying that, Margaret.
I don't care. That is what you're intimating. That because I believe in evolution, I must therefore take the side of the global... What is it again?
Got to take the side of a global climate change.
Of global climate change because I'm dwarf-sized mentally. I mean...
No, I didn't say that.
Then why won't you tell me?
Well, I won't tell you now because you already know, I guess. Who told her?
I did.
All right, so...
Well, I happen to believe in global climate change.
Yeah, thank you, since Robert told you.
No.
Yeah, since Robert told you. All right, so tonight the event attracting plenty of attention in science and faith circles. Nye is a former TV star. Ham is a prominent Christian who believes the Bible tells a factual account of the Earth's beginnings. The Creation Museum says the audience will be made up of visitors from 29 states. The debate will be streamed live online. I was watching it. It is being, it is available to watch now. It took place already, and I think I saw the two gentlemen interviewed on Piers Morgan. But it's available to be seen yet again. So it's available on demand on the internet, I think on YouTube, and all kinds of sites, all kinds of news sites. I don't know. I just think these kinds of things, when done in a literate manner and in a scholastic manner, can be, you know, very beneficial.
Yeah, but if they already had a science determined.
Why would they have this debate?
I don't know, but there's enough of a continuing ongoing controversy, not even a controversy, there's enough of a continuing ongoing, you know, I guess controversy is the word, and disagreement about this, that the debate, I guess, is worthwhile. I mean, it's a question of religious faith for a lot of people. You know, in my upbringing, in the Catholic faith, the belief is that evolution is consistent with the Bible. So there's no, that's what we were taught. And that's what I guess I believe, if I believe in the Bible, which I think I do, but...
I beg your point. You think you believe in the Bible?
I don't know. I'm not sure what that represents anymore, really. I do believe that, I believe what I believe. So anyway, so I think it's kind of cool, but why they can't have the same debate about global climate change, I don't know.
Because the science is settled about that, Phil. That is absolutely settled.
Well, what do you mean the science is settled, for God's sake?
You're starting to lisp, General.
I'm lisping because of the dry air that we are experiencing here in the Conejo Plain and the floodplain of Camarillo. Now, I told you I needed some moisture.
I'm going to go get some water. Get him some water, will you? You're lisping along with the voice cracking?
Yes, because what happened with this?
My voice started
to crack when the air dried out, and then I just noticed right now. See what I'm doing?
So it's pretty...
All right, get him some water, will you?
The science is settled, you say, of the evolution debate, but the science is settled, you say, of global warming, but not evolution. I don't understand this. It sounds like the stupidest thing that I've ever heard in my life.
I can't talk to you when you sound like a cartoon character. I'm sorry.
Would you please have the good and common decency and respect to look me in the eye and... To look me in the eye and talk to me about this?
I can't do that, General, when you sound like a cartoon animal. You sound like a cartoon animal, and I can't speak seriously to you.
Well, I find that to be very insulting, especially...
You see what I'm saying?
Well, don't make him angry.
Yeah, you're making me
angry. You're making me very angry.
Well, General, you're not making me angry. You're making me want to bust a gut with that squeak voice of yours, so...
Yeah, give the respect to the General. Get him some more water. I don't know what you got to do, General. Maybe visit... You know what you need is a speech therapist.
What?
A speech therapist. A speech therapist. I went to a speech therapist once when I had vocal nodules and I was misusing my voice, and I was told by the speech therapist that the vocal cords are much like hands. When you're working outside or you're working with your hands a lot, you develop calluses. And unless you stop misusing your hands. You start protecting your hands, you won't lose those calluses. Well, vocal nodules are the same thing. If you misuse your voice, you will continue to have those. If you start using your voice properly, they will go away.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. What is it with this squeaky voice?
Give me the water, will you? I said you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. So it's something to look into. All right. Speaking of looking into things, we'll continue to look into the day's events here on the Phil Henry Show. This is a kind of an interesting report here. The health care law prompts 2 million people to quit their jobs. Now, some people said that that means the health care law is no good, but if you look at it, they're not getting fired, and the jobs aren't being taken away from them. They're quitting. That means that they now have health care, and they don't need those jobs. At least that's what I think it means, but I could be wrong, and I've been wrong before. And,
come on, Phil, quit.
Quit confusing people.
Yeah, all right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. More water for the general.
And that lisping, too.
What happened? Why is he lisping?
Why is that, General?
I don't know.
All right, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show. And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, online at philhenryshow.com. And guess what? Tonight, we have in store the debut of the Rudy Canosa La La Ladies Tea, baby.
Oh, not that animal.
Yes, that animal. As a matter of fact, Rudy Canosa will be joining us in moments to talk about the brand-new Ladies Tea in store. This is a pink T-shirt with, well, you can go see it on the website. And it's there for your perusal. It's a beautiful, we've had a lot of women asking for a woman's T-shirt of some kind. We didn't think Ted's of Beverly Hills T-shirt would have been proper because...
Damn, get out of the meat in your mouth, you know.
What a child.
Is he wrong?
No, he isn't wrong, but I didn't think sitting there and laughing about it.
Yeah, bud, take it easy with the laughter and the stupid-ass stuff that you're doing tonight, okay?
I'm not doing stupid.
With the whole, you know, spanking ham and, I don't know what's up with you tonight, man. You know what I think I had to do? I had to start drug testing you.
Yeah, that's a great idea, man.
What do you drug test me for, not anybody else?
Because you're the one that sounds like a freak, man. Spanking ham. Nobody can get a word in. Nobody can listen to what's going on. Now you're talking about Ted's of Beverly Hills and the meat in the mouth thing. So what we decided we would do is come up with the Rudy Canosa La La Ladies T-shirt. It's pink with the beautiful... Je t'aime lingerie logo on the front and back, and it is yours there for the nominal price of $8,000. I don't know, it's 20-something, and it's available on our website in our online store at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com, and go to the online store. I think it's a nice little thing. So we're going to talk with Rudy in just a few minutes about that. In the store. Now, you saw this, General.
Well, the health care, see, you know, this is very difficult for me because I don't understand the health care law. I don't get this at all. It sounds pretty far out. And now you throw into the mix the idea. Now, a friend of mine, because he was bored to tears at home and quite frankly wanted to leave, not leave home, but he didn't want to be sitting there listening to his wife. A friend of mine is retired, you see.
It's a guy from the military?
No, it's that Mr. Steelworth.
Who's Mr. Steelworth?
Well, it's the guy that lives next door to Lloyd Bonafide, the Korean veteran. Well, Dick Steelworth's a World War II veteran. Stays around the house, but he took a job part-time at an In-N-Out Burger over here, and they give health insurance.
Okay.
Well, the burger stand, he got bored with that, and he realizes with the Obama health care doesn't need it, so...
This guy took a job at In-N-Out Burger because they had health care.
They had health insurance.
That's what a lot of people are doing.
What do you mean? A lot of people are taking jobs at In-N-Out Burger?
No, not a lot of people. What is with you? A lot of jobs, they're not taking jobs. You're not making any. They're taking part-time jobs.
I need the water, bud. Otherwise, my voice.
Well, here's the only thing that got I was interested in. This is all I don't care about anything else. Because I don't know, but... The health care law prompts 2 million people to quit their jobs or cut hours. Now, what the hell is that about?
It means that people don't need to take these part-time jobs like this Mr. Steelworth because they can afford the health care.
Yes, well, and so he quit his job at an he quit his job at Diddle Burger
diddle burger.
Gad, man, and I didn't even do that.
I didn't say you did anything.
Wait, what's the name of the place?
It's called
Throw In Loud Burger.
That's what I thought I said, but it was, I thought...
You said diddle burger. All right, so he quit his job because he doesn't need the health insurance because he can afford it because of this new health care law. Is that it?
That's my understanding, yes.
All right, now, that sounds to me not like people are getting fired, and that doesn't sound to me like the jobs are no longer in the marketplace. It sounds to me like the jobs are still there, but people are leaving those jobs, so people are quitting. So that means more jobs. It doesn't mean fewer jobs. It means there are people that don't need those jobs. And if they are jobs, for instance, that people are taking strictly because they provide health care, and those jobs might be something as simple as a job at Starbucks. Starbucks has health insurance. In-N-Out Burger has health insurance. Places like that do have health insurance, and there are people to take those jobs for the health care. But if they don't need those jobs, they quit them. Now, I don't know how, and I'm just you know, on the surface of this, I don't know how that translates into something that's bad for the economy, you know.
Well, there are people that argue that, oh, I see, I'm paying for that. But what they don't understand is that they were paying for the emergency room style of health care that was costing them much more. So when you see a Bill O'Reilly on television, and make no mistake, Bill O'Reilly is a vile and disgusting thing. He's not really a man, and I think that Bill would agree with that.
Whoa. Now, hold on. Let's not start characterizing people. What are you saying?
What am I saying? I saw Bill O'Reilly talking to President Obama before that football game the other day, and he said, well, it's costing the taxpayers money. Well, and then the president responded with something that was clearly over Bill's head, and that was that the cost of health care before that, with people just going to an emergency room, was costing us far more. Now, O'Reilly, because he is not fully evolved as a man, but is still part thing.
You see the prejudice that... this is prejudice that she has. And I think it's wrong.
Yeah, I agree with that. That she doesn't like the Bill O'Reilly.
All right, hold on for a minute, all right? You guys with the squeaking voice and you with the this and that.
I'm talking about Bill O'Reilly, man. Margaret's right. That guy... he's all jacked up, man. That guy, I think Bill O'Reilly looked like he's always crawling up underneath a hangover.
Well, I didn't want to say, but he does. His face is always puffy.
Hold on with the whole Bill O'Reilly bashing. Forget about whether he's a thing or whatever. You're saying that O'Reilly was saying what?
O'Reilly was saying the very thing that people say, that the healthcare law is costing taxpayers money. The way it was costing taxpayers money.
I understand that. That's a math lesson. That's a math equation that is difficult for people to understand. But the fact that the emergency rooms were caring for people and they were not paying for their emergency room visits, the uninsured were costing trillions and trillions of dollars. So even if you say to someone, though, that cost more than what it's costing taxpayers now, it doesn't matter. A tax bill is a very, very clear thing. Having this passed along in terms of insurance policies to vast millions of people don't get it right away. But having said all of that, it's wrong of you to characterize Bill O'Reilly as some kind of a freak.
Well, he is a freak, and he is a sexist freak. He's part baboon.
Now, watch it.
That's kind of racist.
How is that racist?
You call him a baboon.
Yeah, you did call him baboon.
You shut up, man. Hey.
Wait a minute. Why is that racist if he's a... Hold on for a minute.
Would you please keep your glasses on the table, Phil?
Sorry. Why is that racist if he's not...
Why is it racist? I didn't think it was racist. I said Bill O'Reilly's a baboon. I stand by it.
Well, I think it's racist to call the man a baboon. Even though he's white, why can't it be racist to call a white man a baboon?
I guess it could be. But then it's not racist so much as it's just demeaning.
Yeah, exactly. So if you call white and black equally baboon... Now you are equally demeaning, although it is worse for the black man.
I would agree with that. Black people can call baboons. They ought to call white people baboon and make it equal. But that'd take another 100 years to call them baboon.
What are you talking about?
You'd have to call them baboon for another 100 years.
What, to get equal to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Will you guys shut up? Who are you, the guy that's going to make all the decisions now?
Yeah.
And quit yelling, bud. Walk over to the microphone.
Oh, sorry.
Stand on the other side of the room. All right. So thank you very much for that math lesson. I didn't get anything that anybody said. I don't understand anything that anyone said. It really frustrates me and makes me angry. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Hendry. All right, we'll have Rudy Canoza on in a few minutes to talk about the new Je T'aime La La Ladies T-shirt available in our
It's in your online store, and it's available now.
If you don't get that voice fixed for the general...
Come on, General, better go get... Got a gargle with some water or something.
Okay.
Oh, man. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
Don't forget the ladies' T-shirt.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and... Certainly online at TuneIn. You know, that's where you can go and listen to the show if you have yet to find it on a radio station somewhere around you. We will always be within reach. Hold on, I'm reaching down to turn off a fan again.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome back to our program, and Rudy Canoza will join us here from Je T'aime Lingerie. Rudy is a longtime contributor to our program, as you know, and he is a guy that I think has been... The guy that's educated us to not just the realities of business, but he's also educated us to the realities of socializing and having a social life when you're traveling as much as he does. Rudy's between here, the United States, and his home in Buenos Aires, Argentina. But tonight, we're very lucky, and not lucky so much as we are, you know, we're very happy to have him on the line. He's at Je T'aime Lingerie. Rudy, I think I heard that foghorn, so what I'd ask you to do is, we've asked you in the past to maybe get as far away from that as you can.
You know, Phil, if that's John Kaufman, who is my store manager tonight, if you could, John, we don't need to hear tonight. And so he's going to, what we're going to do is move to the back of the store here, as far away from the alert as we can. You know, we have a, there's the foghorn you can hear.
And that, to explain to people what that is.
It's simply the an alert for the store employees to pay attention to customers in shop. Sometimes we have women who are trying on some clothes. Some women are trying on some of the lingerie that we have, which is very delicate, and some of the stuff comes in pretty fairly promptly from places like Miami, from Paris. And, we've just got some very, very good stuff here from Paris, and the women are trying this on, and they begin to stretch some of the...
I can hear that. It's not distracting, but I can hear that.
Yeah, we've got a good customer flow this evening here. John? Yes. Yes, we'll be back out to the radio. Yeah. So John is going to do the best that he can for us this evening.
Well, Rudy, we're very happy to announce to our listeners this evening that the Je T'aime Lingerie La 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 Lovely T-shirt is available. This was designed by Karen Tulo, correct?
That is correct. Karen is a, first came to our attention, Karen did, as a friend on the Facebook fan page. And I liked some of the artwork that the Karen was providing, some sample artwork that she was providing, you know, for your radio show, as also for Je T'aime. And asked her at the time if she would design a T-shirt for us. And she came up with this very lovely design, the Je T'aime Lingerie logo, Sherman Oaks, California. And underneath that, of course, is the what is my own personal signature, as the way that I like to relate to the women, which is the la-la-la-la. And yes, I understand. I've got somebody... store personnel coming over.
All right, so are you getting busier?
Well, we're getting a little busy, but we have people who are taking care of it. But it is my own personal signature to say la-la-la-la. Lovely.
All right, so the T-shirt is in pink, and give us a description.
Yes, it's in a hot pink and pink with dark shades for the logo of Je T'aime Lingerie, the dark shades for the name of the Los Angeles, Sherman Oaks, California, in the city of Los Angeles, and then on my own personal statement of admiration and love and really admiration for the beauty of the women that come into our store, which is la-la-la-la lovely for Je T'aime Lingerie.
Can you please explain, Rudy? This is Margaret Gay. Would you please explain the foghorn?
The foghorn that you're hearing in the background is...
Well, can we just talk about the T-shirt first?
I'd like him to explain the foghorn, lest it be misunderstood.
Which way do you want me to go with this, Phil?
All right, if you could explain the foghorn, and we can do this, I think, Rudy, in a way that is inoffensive.
Yes, well, it is not intended as offensive. The foghorn is an alert to the store, in-store staff, that we have in-store. We have a customer flow in-store. That's room three. Room three, yeah. Change room three, please. It is an alert to people in store, to my staff in store, that tells them that we have women that are coming into the store who are possibly are going to need some assistance in the change rooms.
Well, that's not exactly true.
All right, let's not have an argument, okay?
Margaret, please don't start, because I know where you're going with this.
I'll handle it, General.
No, she is.
I'll handle it.
Yes, it's not offensive, Margaret.
No, I don't think it's offensive, but I think it does need far more description and explanation than you're giving it.
All right. The foghorn is... I think I gave it a good description.
Well, you said this is so the staff can assist people. I don't think that that's very accurate.
I do, if you'll allow me. John, give the... Yes, this is Star Assist Alert, please. And then I say change room 3 or change room 2, change room 1, or aisle 1, aisle 2, aisle 3, which is where the clothing is. Sometimes a woman will need assistance to go to the change room. Sometimes she's attempting to change in the aisle. I'm not saying that she's attempting to strip. I'm just saying that there's an alert that perhaps she will strip, and we need that not to happen.
And right there, why did you tell people what that means?
Margaret, are you doing the interview or am I?
Well, I think that...
I'd be happy to explain, Phil.
No, but just take it for one second. I'm doing the interview. Okay, so there are women that come into your store, and they're a little bit overweight. Is that right?
I don't like to say they're overweight. They're not overweight. They are simply a wrong body type. So there's...
Yeah, and because they're overweight, you play a foghorn. I find it very disgusting and very offensive. I'm Margaret Gray.
She's getting up now.
Where are you going?
I'm going to go get myself a cold drink, if you don't mind.
Are you going to allow me to respond to that, Miss Gray?
Yes, you may, but I'm in the next room getting a root beer.
She's getting a root beer, yeah. Maybe you're getting a beer, huh?
No, I'm getting a root beer. What a pig.
You see, Phil, I come on your program.
You should apologize to him for that, Margaret.
I come on your program. I try to give to your audience as clear and concise. John, you might as well knock it off because it's killing me now. Yeah, it's killing me. We've got a very good customer flow this evening, Phil, and because of that, we do have oversized women that are coming in, and because of that, yes, my staff have to do what they have to do to keep the clothing and to keep the lingerie, very delicate lingerie, from being stretched, and so I've asked them to pull up to that. You're killing me with that foghorn. I don't care. It's all over now because they've called me out, huh? They called me out on the Henry Show.
You're on the air saying all this stuff to your staff. Everyone's hearing it.
Later. I think that the T-shirt, the Jutem T-shirt, is what I would like to speak about tonight.
That's what I want to talk about.
And yes, thank you, Phil. And I think the Jutem T-shirt tonight is a T-shirt that is... It's a Jutem T-shirt is... Let me try and see if I can go over here. I'm going to get behind the door and try to muffle the sound a little bit. Yes, ma'am. Yes, over aisle 3. The Jutem T-shirt, Phil, the Jutem Lingerie T-shirt, which is now available in the Phil Henry shop, and it is available there in all sizes for all of the ladies. Let me see. I'm going to try to get it around just behind this door. There's another door. There's two doors here that should muffle the sound a little bit. The Jutem Lingerie T-shirt.
You're behind two doors. It still ain't muffling nothing.
Excuse me.
I've got it, bud. Take it easy. Go ahead.
You can still hear?
Yeah, we can hear it, but it's all right.
The Jutem Lingerie T-shirt, Phil, which was designed by Karen Dulo and is in three colors, is a T-shirt. Yeah, she's in aisle one. She just came in right now. Hold on, Phil. Yeah, she's big. No, all bets are off. She's big. We've got to get two people over there. I said she's big. The Jutem Lingerie T-shirt, Phil, which comes in three colors and is a beautiful T-shirt that can easily, I think, be worn either for formal or casual wear, because I think it is a collector's item. And this is something I want the ladies to know. When you get the Rudy Canosa Jutem Lingerie T-shirt, it's a collector's item. It is a T-shirt which is a collector's item. That means that this is a T-shirt that people look at and they say, my God, my God, my God, my God, I've never seen anything so beautiful in my life. I must have this. I think the men can buy this for the ladies. I think the ladies can buy this for the men. I don't see any men wearing it, although I don't see any men wearing it, but God.
Well, you know, you need to go outside or something.
Listen, then here are the keys. Lock up. I got to get out of here because that thing's killing me. The Je T'aime lingerie is I think the T-shirt is something that is a T-shirt that has been in standing. As you know, Phil, it's something that I've always felt was a one of the things that I'm sorry, I just stepped on something. Is one of the things that I felt was important for us to have as a way of letting people know that Je T'aime lingerie is in business. Is that better, Phil?
Yeah, it's a little better.
I moved out into the mall area. Can I get an espresso or something? Just anything. Yeah, I don't care. Bring me two aspirin, please. Two aspirin, please. So it says, Je t'aime lingerie, la la la, the lovely.
All right, now tell people why it says la la la.
That is the Rudy Canosa personal statement. It is a personal statement that, for me anyway, put it anywhere, pal.
Why don't you hold on, Rudy, okay?
Yes, Phil.
Rudy Canosa with us at Je T'aime Lingerie, where it's obviously very busy.
Well, and did you hear the foghorn? And that's supposed to be a warning to in-store staff that a large woman is in store and they need to help her with the lingerie because she may stretch it. I think it's demeaning. I think it is insulting. I think it is uncalled for. And I think at the end of the day, it's going to hurt him. And I will tell you this. As a woman, I would not buy the Je T'aime Lingerie, la, 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 whatever it is, because I think it's really disgusting. What are you smiling? If he continues to smile at me, Phil, I will smack the teeth out of his head.
I don't. I was smiling because you went la, 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 la.
Yes, what did that turn you on?
Wow. Wow.
Well, you're the one.
I was smiling because it looked funny, that's all.
Bud, you know that you are always walking on eggshells around here, especially with her, so take it easy. We're going to be back in a moment here, folks, with more from the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and from Rudy Canosa as we talk to him about the Je T'aime Lingerie, Rudy Canosa, La 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 Ladies Tea, available now in our online store at philhendryshow.com. Back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. At Je T'aime Lingerie in Sherman Oaks, California, is Rudy Canosa. We're talking tonight about what you just saw there on the screen if you're watching Phil TV in HD. And that is the new Je T'aime Lingerie T-shirt, the Ladies' Tee. It's called the, let's see, I'll get this right, Rudy. It's called the La La Ladies' Tee from Je T'aime Lingerie.
Yes, and it comes in all sizes, too, Phil. We want people to know that. And again, my apologies, for the hectic nature of what's going on behind me here at the Je T'aime Lingerie tonight, because there's quite a few women that are coming in.
And why the big traffic tonight?
Well, see, when you say big traffic, I got to tell you, Johnny, hold on, Johnny, big traffic tonight. Sorry, he hit the foghorn, you know, Phil, you know.
Meaning what? Meaning there's big women?
Well, I mean,
you see, that's what Phil, I find that really childish.
We're not trying to be childish, Margo. When Phil said big traffic, it reminded me of a joke. The kids, I don't mean anything by that. I don't, Phil. And we have nothing but respect for the women. La, 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 lovely, which is on the front of the Je T'aime Lingerie T-shirt, is what I say to women when I say that I think they are lovely, when I think they are sexy, when I think they are beautiful. I say to them, la, la, la. And
see, that needs explaining.
Yes, would you please explain that? Because when I first heard that, I thought it was, I understood it was very alluring. I thought it was very sexy, and I thought you made the point. See, that I find offensive.
I'm sorry, but what am I supposed to do if a woman who is coming into my store?
You can simply direct the staff to go help her. You don't have to blow a foghorn through the whole store so that everyone can hear it.
But the people don't know what it means. They think it's funny.
Well, you're on the radio talking about it.
That's a good point, Rudy. You're on air talking about the fact that the foghorn represents a very large... Let's see, there it goes again. And I just think that... Have you gotten closer?
Yes, I moved up to the door because I wanted to see. There's somebody over here that was planning something. I don't know what. But the we've got a lot of people that are stepping through glass. I had some women go through the glass. Hey, you! I had some women go through the plate glass here in the display window, Phil, because they're. We've got some closeout prices tonight on some of this stuff, and we had two women bust through one of the windows. Now they're just climbing. Would you please, ladies?
Well, do you need police there?
We got security. Don't, please don't come to the windows, ladies. We what happened, Phil, is one of the windows got broken in, and now there's a flood of women that are climbing up in through the display window and just... That's why we've got. I have to code blue this, Phil. I hope you don't mind.
What is code blue?
I've got to just go ahead and we'll do a constant fog on until we get some. All right, we need security, 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 security. Chateau lingerie. Chateau lingerie. Security, security. I apologize, Phil.
Okay, well, Rudy Canoza with us tonight. I'm not sure I understand. Is everything okay?
Yeah, we're fine, but we have people that are breaching the perimeter here of the store. And what happened because of these closeout prices, some of the women got overenthusiastic. We had one of them break a display window, and now the women are not using the door. They're just climbing up through the broken glass of the display window and then climbing down into the store, helping each other using step ladders or just jumping down into the store. So it's gotten a little crazy, and that's why I'm asking for security. I need mall security. Mall security. Mall security.
You know, I think you are an absolute animal. Why don't you just call security?
You know something, Margaret? When the day comes that you own a lingerie store, one with some of the finest stuff coming in daily from Miami Pass, then you tell me. You do not own a store. I own this store. I am Rudy. You are no one. You don't own a store. You are a writer. You are a news person, okay? But I own this store. I will say what goes. I am Rudy. And when I say what goes, I say it with respect for the women. When I first met Margaret, I said to her, hello, I'm Rudy Canoza. And she was insulted, and she said, you filthy pig. She called me every name. And then I told her what it meant. I said, it means that you are like a sunrise. You are golden like a sunrise. I would never in a million years think to desecrate or to... Yeah, thank you. Hi. You security? Well, I got it. Yeah, they're everywhere. They're all over the place. I would never think to desecrate or to disrespect you. And what did you say to me?
I appreciated that, Rudy. I really did, and I still do. But I think blowing the... When you said that you thought I was lovely, I appreciated it. But all bets were off when you blew your first foghorn.
Well, I could say that all bets were off when you blew your first, you know, fill in the blank. And
hang up on him. I demand you hang up on him.
I'm making a joke.
Hey, Rudy, that's not funny. That's not funny.
Well, what was not funny?
What you just said.
I demand you hang up on him or I'm leaving.
No, Margaret, you're not leaving. We've already had the discussion, but I will tell you, Rudy, apologize.
Margaret, I want you to... I'm sorry.
No, there's no apology for what he just said.
Margaret, I said all bets are off when you blew your first and you wouldn't let me finish.
You said when you blew your first, fill in the blank.
All right, you could have filled in the blank with, you know, fog, you know, tin whistle or flute or something, you know.
Yeah, I'll say flute.
I'm going to kick his...
Hey!
All right, now I got a problem here, okay?
Well, I've got a problem, too. I got people coming through the windows. See? I got the problem.
Yeah, you all of a sudden are blowing foghorns over there when it's very convenient for you. What are you doing?
Kick my ass!
She didn't kick your ass.
I think it is wrong, and this one, if he opens his mouth again...
Bud, I didn't do anything. I said what she blew the first flute.
No... Blew the first flute.
All right.
Margo, what I said to you, you said to me all bets were off when I blew my first foghorn, and I said all bets were off, you know, when...
I heard what you said, and I think everyone knew what you meant, and you're a pig and a slob. You understand, Rudy? A pig and a slob.
Thank you. I take it as a compliment from you.
You do, huh? Well, you're a pig and a slob.
Thank you. And I'd like to say to you, Margaret, blah, 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 and you know what that means... That you are a beautiful woman.
I know what it means, and I know it's a compliment, but I still do not forgive you for saying what you said.
Margaret, I want to say to you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, thank you very much for that.
I gotta tell you.
God, it sounds like some guy that's missing half his head.
All right, I don't know.
You don't understand Rudy's language. I do. It's very complimentary, but I still find the foghorn offensive.
I'm very sorry, Margaret. But from the bottom of my heart, I say to you...
Thank you very much.
All right.
Can I jump in here with a question, if you don't mind?
Go ahead.
Is that supposed to be, and I'm asking, is that supposed to be complimentary, Rudy?
Yes, it is, General, because this is something that women... When you say to a woman that you love her...
And what are you saying?
I'm saying to Margaret, you are the most beautiful creature I've seen. You could try it with your wife.
What? I'm going to try what with my wife?
If you say to your wife...
La, la, la. You know, I wouldn't do it because she'd take some pincers or one of those needle-nose pliers and pull my tongue out at the roots. That's what she'd do.
Well, I don't know. I got problems here. I got women coming too. We've got a breach in the perimeter. We've got a breach in the perimeter. Breach in the perimeter.
Okay.
You see, Phil, no one's fooled. Rudy is a swine. And his T-shirt, yes, of course, I'll buy several because I've got a lot of girlfriends who would like them. But he's a swine. He is just absolutely a pig. Oh, God, he's a pig.
All right, we'll be back here on our world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more after our news break. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, into the second hour of our marvelous offering here this evening. Good to be with you guys wherever you are. You can listen to us on TuneIn or by way of one of our fine affiliates, or you can go to our website and listen to the show by way of a live stream on the website. Or if you're a Backstage Pass member, which means you're a subscriber to our site, you have our daily show podcast, which is the full three-hour show. You also have a video cast of the show. And that can be interesting, or it can be frightening. What do you think is the... Do you think people watch the show?
Well, I know that people watch the show on demand. I know there's quite a few people that watch it live. I've seen the statistics. I've seen the breakdown. You are a very unusual-looking man, Phil. I'm not saying that you're an unattractive man, but you're very unusual to look at, and I think it may frighten some people.
Yeah, there's, you know, kind of like, I'm not seeing an elephant man or anything.
Boy, bud, of all the people to be talking about the elephant man, you know.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Yeah, well, I'm not that bad off. Then I'm not saying I'm bad, but Mr. Henry's worse off than me.
What do you mean worse off, man?
I'm just saying, you know. I'm saying that given you and given me and given you and given me.
And given you and given me.
Yeah.
What about it?
Just, you know. You're pretty tough to look at.
Thank you. Jeez, God, what a bunch of... Thanks a lot. What, are you making fun of everybody's looks here?
I didn't say anything about your looks, Phil. I said you're very unusual looking, that's all. Very unusual looking.
Well, what is that? That's going to make people think that I've got three heads or something. Tell them what it means.
It means that the way you do your show, not the way you look, but the way you do your show is so weird.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just weird, man.
Oh, will you get out of here, both of you?
Well, it is.
Yeah, uh-huh. The way I do my show is so weird. I do it the way I do it, okay? All right, so thank you again, Rudy, and go to the website, pick up that Je T'aime Lingerie, you know, Je T'aime Lingerie thing, man. Get that T-shirt. Now, we're going to have Art Griego on because I want to talk about airline seats. Now, I was talking to the audience during the breaks, talking to our online audience during the break, and asking the question, do you guys sleep on airplanes, Bud?
What?
Are you able to sleep when you're taking an airplane ride?
I've never been on an airplane.
You ain't never been on an airplane?
Nah.
You've never flown?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Well, someday you'll fly and...
Well, I mean, why? What reason would I have?
If you want to go somewhere that's a long distance away.
Well, I'd ride my bike there.
You ride your bike to where?
San Francisco.
What if you want to go to New York?
I don't want to go to New York.
If you someday go to New York, man, you're going to fly. You're going to take your motorcycle?
Probably.
Okay, Robert, do you sleep or do you...
Yeah, I sleep pretty good. I sleep Sometimes I can sleep all the way through it.
What's the longest you've ever slept on an aircraft?
I probably slept all the way through, like, you know, 4 hours.
4 hours?
That, I can't do that. I've slept an hour or two.
General?
I'm like Robert. I'm able to... I'm a very vigilant person, but I am generally able to sleep a few hours, yes. But, you know, that came by way of the military. When we were taking transports and so forth, you learn how to sleep because you really have no choice.
All right. I envy you, General, and I envy you, Robert, because anybody that can sleep for 4 hours on an aircraft, to me, that's phenomenal. I don't. I probably sleep...
How long have you fallen asleep on an airplane?
I haven't slept more than a half hour.
Wow. Yeah, that's all... What, are you all afraid of flying and everything?
No, I'm not afraid of flying, bud. I'm the guy that's... You're the one that hasn't ever flown, okay?
What?
You're the guy that's never been on an airplane.
What?
You know, I'm going to belt you in about 5 seconds. Not Margaret, me. It'll be me. The fist that you feel will be this one, and it's connected to this arm that's connected to this shoulder.
Yeah.
And it's connected. And who has the shoulder?
You.
Thank you. So,
Well, I mean...
That, never mind, bud. We're done asking you the questions. Now we're on to the host of the show, me, Phil Hendry, and I'm saying I've never been able to sleep more than 20 minutes... or half an hour. Art Griego is going to join us here in a moment. He is a... Art has been a commercial pilot. He has been a private pilot. He's been a charter pilot. He has flown freight. I mean, this is a guy that's done it all, has owned his own freight service, has owned his own aircraft from time to time, and flew commercially for some 23 years. He's going to talk with us about the comfort of air travel, which I think is if you ask me, I think that's 90% of the battle, man. I'll go through just about anything if I know that when I get on that aircraft and I sit down, I'm going to be in a nice, comfortable seat, and I'm going to have a nice, comfortable time of it, you know. And that means if it's delayed, I understand all that stuff. I understand that some things are unavoidable. But one thing that can be within the control of the airline and the crew is the comfort of the aircraft and the experience of the passenger. So Art Griego is going to come on here and talk with us about that as well. I want to tell you that tomorrow night I will be on Caleb Brown's Man School. He's doing a live webcast. And for more information on that, we'll be posting tomorrow on our website. We'll also be posting on our fan page at facebook.com. Caleb is a podcaster, has been podcasting Man School for quite some time on the Sideshow Network, is going to be doing a video cast live tomorrow night. We'll be a part of that. And I'll give you some more information on that throughout the course of the program. But because we will be on Caleb's podcast, his live podcast tomorrow night, a video cast, we will be on a best of footing tomorrow night.
So we don't have to come in?
No, you don't have to come in. God.
Well, Phil, don't get all ding-ing-ing-ing-ing. You want me to come in here and sit here and stare at a wall while there's no one here?
Yeah, that'd be kind of dumb, Mr. Hendry, for people to do that.
No, but you don't have to sound all... eager, you know.
Well, if we don't have to come in, I've got something I need to do.
What is that?
Well, we're playing darts at the John Bull. You know, I was not able to join the dart team, but if tomorrow night is open, I can get in a few, get in a couple of games and have myself a pint or two.
All right, have fun at the John Bull, you know.
Well, you look like you're jealous.
Maybe I am.
You don't want to do the Man School podcast on account of he gonna be in a John Bull?
What? What did you say?
You're jealous because you don't get to play darts tomorrow night.
I could care less about... I was never any good at darts. I don't care, you know.
You still would rather be there quaffing a pint, wouldn't you?
But, you know, your voice is about to crack again.
Oh, give me a break, will you?
All right, yes, I would rather be... No, I wouldn't rather be. I'd rather be doing Man School tomorrow night. I'd rather be there enjoying life with my compatriots. If I got nothing better to do, then, yeah, going to the John Bull for a pint and playing... darts, you know.
You weren't any good at darts.
No, I wasn't any good at darts. I was never any good at darts. Never any good at darts. So I was no good on any dart team.
What was you good at?
Why don't you shut up, okay? All right.
Wow, where'd that come from?
What are you all pissed off about, sir?
Can I get to what it is I want to talk about without you guys asking me about darts and bowling and whatever the hell else?
Just ask what you're good at.
I'm good at picking you up and throwing you out the front door. I'm going to throw this place into the street, okay?
All right.
All right, so Art Griego is with us. Art is in Santa Monica, California this evening, and will be talking with us about his experience as an airline pilot. He's at Santa Monica Airport this evening, and it's good to be with you, Art. As a commercial pilot, how long did you fly?
Bill, I flew for 23 years, as you indicated. I flew for a number of commercial carriers. I'd rather not mention the names of the carriers because much of what I talk about on your program and other programs is of a controversial nature, but I have, I've from time to time, I've flew for just about every commercial carrier there was, and then some.
And as a pilot, I know you, some people might not think that you're all that aware of the relative comfort or the complaints or the praise that a passenger may have for the experience, but you are, right?
Oh, yeah, we were very much, and I made it a part of my job to know how the passenger felt, and if the passenger felt that they were being treated well, and if they felt it was a good experience. I always wanted to know about that. Safety is the number one concern, Phil, and we've always said that safety is the number one concern. But then I think after that, of course, comes the comfort of the passengers.
And you heard me saying here earlier that when it comes to sleeping on an aircraft, I'm not the most comfortable guy. I sleep maybe 20 minutes. It doesn't matter, how far we're going.
Well, I was going to ask you, does that include long flights? For instance, I know you've traveled to Europe several times.
Yeah, if I'm on an 11-hour flight, I can't sleep more than a half an hour, I don't think, at any one time. I may be able to, in different parts of the flight, fall out for a half hour here, a half hour there, but never any long extended period of time.
You know, it's an interesting thing. Up in the cockpit, we are able on the flight deck to... we were able to grab a few hours of sleep, and I would say back in the days when we had navigators, you know, we don't have a navigator anymore, it's all online computer, but you would be able to grab a couple hours of sleep. You had it on autopilot. Some of these guys would get on board, sit down, throw it on autopilot, go to sleep, and they wouldn't wake up until the plane is about ready to land. And of course, you know the stories of some guys, they wind up sleeping, and you wake up and you've overshot your airline or your airport by 200, 300, 400 miles.
Does that happen often?
Well, I don't want to talk out of school, but you heard the news report last year.
Yeah, no, I heard of the Northwest Airlines flight.
That was one last year where they fell asleep, but Phil, I want to know what Phil wants to know. Does that happen a lot?
It happens. I'm not going to comment. It never happened to me. It didn't happen to me in any greater number of times than it would happen to anybody else. But if you are tired and you have been, you've been flying back and forth between, say, Los Angeles and Las Vegas, and I was on that run for probably a solid month just going between L.A. and Vegas. That's going to take its toll because you are expected to, you've got to get off the aircraft, and you get off the aircraft, now where are you? You're either in Los Angeles or you're in Las Vegas. These are two cities that are not exactly for the shy and retiring type or the wallflowers. So you get off the aircraft, and that means you've got no choice but to go out. And you do the best you can, trying to, stay sober, or you're trying to stay away. You're trying to do the very best you can to get to bed early and to get on the aircraft and to fly an aircraft and make sure it lands when you want it to land.
Well, what are you talking about now?
Well, I'm sorry.
But I, Phil.
Go ahead, General.
You said that you. This is General Shaw, Mr. Grego. How are you?
Yes, General. Good.
You said that you you have no choice. You do the best you can when you're in a city like Los Angeles or Las Vegas. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, what does that mean? Are you trying to tell me and tell Phil's audience that you have no choice but do you have no choice but to overshoot your destination? Because you're asleep?
Well, no, it's not that you had no choice, but you are flying between Las Vegas and Los Angeles.
We heard that, Art, but we want to know, what does that mean? Are you sleeping and not landing where you should?
Well, there were times, yes, because you're getting off an aircraft and you're going into either Los Angeles or Las Vegas, as I said, those are two cities that are not known as places where you're going to go and get lots of sleep. You know, these are party cities. Miami is another one. New York is another one. And so you land, and you're expected to get off the aircraft. You're not going to sleep on the aircraft. Are we all agreed there?
Yes, of course. But the point is, you're getting off the aircraft, and then you're doing what?
You're getting off the aircraft, and you've got maybe a half a dozen flight attendants, and they're looking at you, expecting you to go with them to the places where they go. I'm not sure I understand what the confusion is.
And well, if you've got flight attendants...
Phil, you land in a city like Las Vegas. You've got a half a dozen flight attendants staring at you, and they're going to the place where they go to drink the alcoholic beverage. Hello? And
No, I understand they're going to go party. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they're going to go party. And so they go and they look at you and they're wondering, are you going to go with us to the place where the alcoholic beverage...
You don't have to talk to us like we're stupid, Art, you know.
No, hold on, because I get into this problem with a lot of people, and I'm trying to get you to understand what I do as a flight, as a flying pilot, as a man that flies, as a pilot who's also a man. Hold on for a minute.
As a pilot?
Yes, but I'm a pilot that flies. Well, all pilots fly, but I'm a pilot that flies into a city in an airplane. I don't know.
You know, Art, the more you talk, the less confidence I have in your veracity and your, you know...
Well, I find that insulting.
Oh, hold on, General. So you land in Las Vegas or you land in Las... Art, should we break, Nikki? We're way over. Let me...
Wait a minute. I had a lot to say.
We're going to take a break here. I apologize, Nikki. We're going to break. We'll be right back with more from Art Griego as we talk about the relative comfort for passengers on the modern aircraft of today, the modern airline of today. And we're also hearing this very interesting story from Art Griego on, you know, his flying days and whether or not he was awake while he was flying. I don't know. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. Back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. So I just was talking to Nikki, and you don't believe it, bud?
No, I believe it.
Nikki thinks or thought that that's what she said originated on Seinfeld. It didn't, because the phrase, that's what she said, is simply an updating of a World War II-era phrase that my dad used to use, which was, that's what the girl said to the sailor.
What does that mean, that's what the girl said to the sailor?
So if, you know, anything, you know, when you say blah, 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 that's what she said.
That's what a girl said as a sailor.
Yeah.
All right.
Look, man, you know exactly what I'm saying, okay? And that's what the girl said to the sailor, which is a World War II phrase, obviously is talking about either some chick he meets in a bar, maybe a prostitute. So we're not, you know, we're on the same page with this this interesting bit of, you know, risque humor. And so then it morphs into that's what she said. But I can certainly understand where some people think something originates here. I don't know where a lot of stuff originates. I don't know where that's what the girl said to the sailor originated.
Well, it might have been a World War I, you know.
There's no question that these phrases go back literally hundreds of years, if not more. But they take on different forms. There's different verbiage. There's different... ways of communicating essentially the same idea, which is to take a phrase and then connect it to something either scatological or risque or naughty or racy to elicit a humorous response from the audience. Go, bud.
Yay.
Cut. All right.
You have to cue him for applause.
I think it's better that way. All right, Art Griego on the line with us here on the Phil Hendry Show as we continue with this discussion of the relative comfort of airline seats. Art, you had a piece of tape.
This was a piece of tape that was aired on the Dan Saskel show on KROD in San Francisco. And I felt that it needed some context because I can tell you right now, Dan Saskel did not give me or any member of the Pilots Federation an opportunity to respond. This was a recording, a cockpit recording of an in-flight, the cockpit of a flight that I was the captain on. This is between Los Angeles and Las Vegas. They used a filter to filter out my radio communication with the tower, and it sounds like this. This is pre-filter, Phil.
I heard a little bit of it. It sounded like a plane.
It sounded like an airplane about to crash.
Yes, but that's not what happened. Here is the actual broadcast. This is the actual control tower recording of the cockpit radio as that took place. Mayday, 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 mayday. Yeah, mayday. Ah, yeah, I pulled it out. Yeah, yeah, feels good. You heard that, right, Phil?
Yeah, I heard that.
Well, what does that mean? Yeah, I heard that.
It means I heard that.
What was that a recording of?
That was me in the cockpit yelling mayday, and then I pulled it out.
That's what she said.
What?
Isn't that what they wanted?
Wait, hold on for a minute. Why did you say that?
Because you guys were talking about it.
You thought that because you were talking about it, you're supposed to say that's what she said.
Why?
Because that's what Nikki said in the break.
Well, okay. No, bud. All right?
All right.
Why did he say that's what she said? I'm talking about an aircraft that almost crashed, and he's making a joke?
Did it almost crash, or did it not almost crash, and it sounded worse than it sounded?
What?
Hold on for a minute. Man, I'm going to kill somebody.
Well, Phil, you're making it worse with the whole that's what she said.
Wait a minute. I didn't say that. He said it because he was quoting Nikki from the break, who said that when somebody said, we almost crashed, but I pulled it out.
She didn't say that. He said that, and she laughed.
All right, so we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more. And, Bud, you know...
I thought you wanted me to say that.
I never said anything of the sort for you to say anything of having to do with anything, okay, you moron? We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. PhilHendryShow.com and like that, man. Boy, this is some nice relaxing music. How'd you like to hear This Is Your Landing? Woohoo! No. World famous Phil Hendry Show and PhilHendryShow.com, and welcome back. And we were just looking at some footage from the Super Bowl. Bruno Mars, this guy, if you haven't seen Bruno Mars, you should do yourself a favor and watch him live. His music is just one facet of Bruno Mars. He's an entertainer on a scale, on a par with, many people have said James Brown, James Brown. I think a lot of that comes from the fact that,
well, James Brown conked his hair just like this young man.
What do you mean, conked his hair?
Well, they do. He did. I mean, James Brown had that conk thing going on.
What do you mean, conk?
Where you straighten the hair. I mean, you straighten and you make the hair look... I don't want to get into it, but basically you look like you got straight hair. And that's fine. It's no different from, I think, white guys getting perms. In any event...
Well, then why are you going through the whole,
Because at the time, it was considered not a very proud move for a black man to conk his hair and try to look like he had a jelly roll like Elvis Presley, that's all. But nonetheless, I don't think that probably was the thinking when one saw the performing of James Brown, whether white or black member of the audience. James Brown, was an outstanding performer in every respect, and was a great visual performer. Jackie Wilson, the same thing. Michael Jackson, the same thing. Bruno Mars, I think, brings up, though, more of... you're thinking of the 60s, I think. You're thinking of the Jackie Wilsons and the James Browns, because visually, yeah, there is a similarity in the look. And what the general was saying, conking the hair...
Well, I'm not, please don't, I'm not trying to say that there is some racism or racial, I'm just saying that the two men conked their hair, and you can't let that make you think that he's, I thought James Brown, there will never be another James Brown.
I agree.
So trying to say that Bruno Mars, but the young man does have some of the same moves and certainly is, aspires to the same high level of entertainment. Let's just put it that way. And okay, my voice.
Take it easy, General. Just slow down.
Yeah, you're starting to strain your voice, General.
Well, I'm trying to say I admire both men.
And I do, too. And we'll just leave it at that. But yeah, Bruno Mars has that classic jelly roll.
Well, but when you said conk the hair, now you're talking about Malcolm X.
Malcolm X, in the book and in the film, yeah, he referred to conking the hair as something that he felt was a degrading. I'm not putting down Bruno. I don't want to go, you know.
Well, why don't you want to?
Because it sounds like I'm putting the kid down, and I don't mean to. I'm not. I'm just saying he's got that classic James Brown look. All right.
But you're also saying...
Margaret, will you just let it, you know, go?
Let it go, Miss Gray. God.
Oh, okay. I'll let it go. Thank you.
Well, I mean, you know, I think it's natural for us to say, oh, Bruno Mars. First of all, his music is not like James Brown. James Brown was far more of a blues artist and rhythm and blues artist, whereas Bruno Mars is more of a pop singer, I think. But that's to be understood. I think we can understand that given the taste in music changes. Bruno Mars has a far bigger stage act. James Brown was by himself up there, man. He had musicians that backed him up, but he did not have a core or a group of dancers and singers behind him. I think he had on occasion a few females, but it was mostly, just James Brown at the mic doing his thing. Things are far more elaborate these days. The stage shows of entertainers today involve far more dancers, far more singers. There might even be more musicians up there. And everybody is choreographed now. It isn't just the dancers. And it's now the musicians themselves have a choreography. There is far more staging. There's lights. There's all kinds of... What was that? I'm listening to things. Do we still have our ISDN line? Are we still...
I heard that too, Phil.
Are we okay, Nikki?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, so let me get Art Griego back here before he hangs up on us. Art, when we just talked to you a moment ago... You played a piece of tape that sounded as if you were about to crash the aircraft, and then we got into that whole "That's What She Said."
Well, yeah, I'm sorry that that's what happened because it was not funny. I didn't like hearing him say "That's What She Said." When I said I pulled it out when we almost crashed, I wasn't talking about anything sexual.
No, I understand that. I understand. But what you played for us was a piece of tape that was released by the Pilots Federation that did not have the audio?
That is correct, yes. And then we re-released it with the audio, and you could hear me yelling, "Mayday, mayday, oh, it's okay, I just pulled it out." And then some guy in the control tower said, "That's what she said." And that's when we finally landed, and I got out of the cockpit. I walked directly to the control tower.
Hold on for a minute. I'm hearing, I'm hearing a lot of popping and zinging there, Nick. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I'm hearing it, too.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on.
Well, as long as we're still pumping the thang out, you know.
That's what she said.
I'm going to kick your ass, okay? Anyway, Art, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. When I got out of the aircraft, I went directly to the control tower, and I cold-cocked the... I said, "Which one of you guys said that's what she said?" Some little guy, a little red-headed guy with a cigar, raised his hand, and I had to punch down on him because he was so short, but I was able to, I put him on his back and crushed the cigar because the shot, you know, it was a right hand direct to his face. It flattened the cigar against his face, then knocked him out.
Okay, you're proud of that?
No, I'm not proud of that, Phil. I mean...
Because right now you're talking about how you assaulted a man. We want to know about flying. Flying. You understand?
Yes, I understand about flying. I understand that.
Well, then talk about it, Art, and not you brutalizing a man much shorter than you.
The guy said that's what she said into my ear. All right.
Here's what I want to know. That tape that you played for us... was a aircraft that sounded like it was going to crash, and it wasn't going to crash. What was the point of playing that?
Because that was a flight that I took to... That was a flight that we were on to Las Vegas that I overshot because I'd fallen asleep, because I wanted to escort six of our flight attendants, they said, let's go to the place where the alcoholic beverages are sold, Margaret.
You don't have to be sarcastic.
No, I'm trying to let you and Phil and everyone know how this game is played. You land the airplane, and here are the flight attendants. Let's go to the place where the drinks are for to drink them.
Why are you being, like, sarcastic?
I'm just telling you, Phil. You go with the flight attendants to the place where the drinks are sold for to have them and dance. Then you drink and dance, and uh-oh, I almost forgot. I'm married, oh well, and you have sex with one of the flight attendants. You understand? I mean, I'm sorry I have to talk like I'm talking to idiots, but you guys don't seem to get it.
And I get it 100%. It doesn't make any difference whether I get it or not. You're flying an aircraft. I don't care if you had sex with all the flight attendants, if you're married. It doesn't. None of that matters to me. What matters to me is, as a passenger, I'm on your airplane, and I want it to land safely.
And it does land safely, as this aircraft landed safely. But they didn't want to play for you this tape. They played the other tape. Mayday, mayday. That's the tape that they should have played, where you hear me saying, mayday, mayday, ah, yeah. And then I said,
I don't hear any control tower.
All right, I'll play it again, and we'll enhance it. If you can enhance, just roll off the low end there, Bill. Here it is. Mayday, 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 pulled it out. That's what she said. I'll get you. All right, did you hear that?
You know what, I think that's a phony.
What do you mean?
What is that supposed to mean?
I think that's not a real recording. I think you dummied it up just now.
Margaret, you know, please don't say dummied it up, because you're leaving the door wide open for me to walk right in with the bunker buster of all jokes.
Well, I'm not impressed.
All right, Art Griego is with us as we talk about airline, not so much safety as we were trying to talk about comfort. And Art is telling us a tale that is quite astounding, that as a pilot, he flew a number of flights between Las Vegas and Los Angeles, fell asleep a number of times, and overshot the destinations. And in one instance, and you just heard the tape, apparently the aircraft sounded like it was heading in for a crash, and he was able to, quote, pull it out. There's some sub-story here, or...
Well, it's a subplot having to do with a short, red-headed air traffic control guy with a cigar.
Yes, that Art went and assaulted.
What do you mean, assaulted? You're talking about...
No, I mean he punched. God.
He punched him, bud.
Oh, well.
And that's because this guy had a smart-ass remark that he made. We'll be back with Art Griego. And I would like to get into more of this seat comfort thing. All kinds of stuff happening this evening as we got into the program, having to do with the Bill Nye versus Ken Ham debate on evolution and creationism. Bud Dickman, of course, we had to talk with him because the creationist's name is Ken Ham. Bud got off some very ill-advised, what he thought were funny lines about spanking Ham and pressing Ham and this and that. And so we never did get rolling on the debate itself. We will try to return to that in due time. Also, at our online store, the brand spanking new Rudy Canoza Je T'aime Lingerie La 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 Ladies Tees. They are pink, three-color tees, available, T-shirts available to you ladies at our website in the online store at philhenryshow.com. So please do visit us there. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and tune in. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and TuneIn. TuneIn. If you have a TuneIn app, and we strongly suggest you get your TuneIn app, you can listen to our show live 7 to 10 at night, 10 to 1 on the East Coast. You can also hear a podcast of our show the following day at philhenryshow.com. You can hear the live stream of our show at philhenryshow.com. Or you can listen to one of our affiliates on the over-the-air terrestrial thing. It's all there at, it's all there on your radio or Phil Henry Show. .com. So, how's it looking there, Robert and Bud?
Yeah, we're talking about
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Right. I had these two guys, Bud and Robert, talk about the debate that they're watching between Bill Nye, the science guy, and Ken Ham. And without any of your ham jokes, okay.
I'm sorry.
How do you think it's going so far, Bud?
Well, I agree with Mr. Ham, even though I made a joke about his name. And he's saying that God created it, and then, you know, other stuff came into it. But first it was God.
Okay, that's the creationist?
Yeah, that's creationism.
Robert?
Well, Bill Nye, the science guy, is saying that if you have to have faith in God, then that's not exactly scientific. They're saying that the creationists don't think the secularists, they call the secularists, are scientific because they have a whole lot of mumbo-jumbo. They were never there. They didn't see what happened.
Right, okay.
See, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Don't worry about it, Margaret. So we're going to get into a little bit of that discussion at the top of the hour. Maybe we can get into it here if our good friend Art Griego. Art, just want a couple more questions here, Art, and then we'll probably push our discussion of evolution or the actual Bill Nye and Ken Ham debate to the other side of the hour. Art Griego with us.
Okay, you know, Phil, don't let me interrupt, your radio show. I mean...
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm here to tell you about some of the things I'm up against, and you want to talk about some guy. Now, I'm not making it here. The guy's name is Ham, right?
Yes, Ken Ham. He's a creationist. Here's the reason why I sounded a little bit, if I didn't sound absolutely committed, it's because I'm not sure if we have strayed so far from our topic of airline comfort.
Well, I don't think we have at all. What I'm trying to say to you is that what I was up against as a pilot, what pilots are up against every day, is a comfort issue. You want the passengers to be comfortable. I want the passengers to be comfortable. But when I'm flying an airplane that is already difficult for me to fly, because as I said, and forgive me, Phil, if I'm sounding like I'm condescending and being insulting in that manner, but I have to put it in as exacting a language as I can. When you fly the airplane.
Art, you don't have to talk like we're idiots.
Well, I'm sorry, Ms. Gray, but this is when I'm flying the airplane with the flight attendants and I land and they want for to have the sex and drinks.
What does that mean?
What do you mean that they want to have sex and drinks?
You don't understand that.
You're acting as if this is something you have no choice in.
I'm an airline pilot. I'm going to Las Vegas. There's six females. They're saying, come on, Art. What are you doing, Art? I said, I'm doing the post-flight safety check. Oh, ha, 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 okay. And see, they give you no choice. So I got to get off the aircraft. I got to go down to the alcohol place and to the hotel where the girls are for to have the sex. Wow.
You know, you're talking like this is something you have no choice in, that you are pressed into service.
Get a load of you with the pressed into service. You were, a moment ago, talking about pressed ham. And
that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about now. You're acting as if this is something you have no choice in. And therefore, when that aircraft almost crashed, even though you said you, quote, pulled it out, and then you beat up some guy that said that's what she said from the control tower... I mean, it sounds to me like your whole, I'm sorry to say this, it sounds like you were completely out of control as a pilot.
Well, Phil, you know, I could insult you professionally, but I'm not going
to
do that.
I'm not trying to insult you. I'm reacting to what I heard on those tapes, all right? And forget about the fact that we wanted to talk about relative safety and comfort of passengers.
Well, we can talk about it all you want. I mean, I make sure that my passengers are comfortable even as I am living in a hell. In my own personal hell up in the cockpit. I want to make sure that my passengers are comfortable. You talk to anybody that ever flew on a Griego flight. You talk to anyone that ever flew Griego. And that's how I put it, and that's how a lot of pilots put it. My last name's Griego, and if you flew Griego, which means if you flew on any aircraft that was captained by me, you were as snug as a bug in a rug, my friend. Even as I... roiled and broiled in my own personal hell in that cockpit, hungover, needing to urinate,
the burning that comes from, eating spicy food. You see, to you, that's a joke.
It sounds like you're partying and you think that everybody's going to feel bad for you on account of your party.
Now, that's the first sensible thing I've heard Bud say.
Well, that's great. Good for you, Bud. You said something sensible. I am telling you...
Why should I feel sorry for you? Because your guts are boiling from eating spicy food.
If you put it all together, and I had 6 flight attendants telling me, oh, are you not going to come and party with us? What do you have to do? Safety checks? Yeah, okay. So I got to go. I got to go to where the alcohol is and where the spicy hot Indian food is. The next morning... It's a whole other torture chamber, and that torture chamber is about 3 feet by, 6 feet. It's called an aircraft John, and that is my own personal living hell, that aircraft John, where the pilot goes in the morning, and I've got to pass through my colon acid, pure hydrochloric acid.
Thank you very much, Art, for letting us know all about what passes through your colon. That is so classy.
Are you people not aware of what I'm trying to say?
What you're telling me is that you are hungover.
No, I'm not. It's more than hungover.
Yeah, it burns when it comes out.
Yes, it burns when it comes out, if you want to put it that way. Are you saying that that's not worth anything? In other words, so that's not worth anything, huh? It's all about you? I can tell you, Phil, I have flown an awful lot of aircraft.
No, when you say it's all about me, I'm the passenger. So, yeah, it's going to be all about me. And your discomfort as a pilot because you partied with the flight attendants, because you ate hot and spicy Indian food, because you drank a lot of booze, because you danced until 3 a.m. and you only got 3 hours of sleep, you're asking me to feel sorry for you and to consider that a hazard of your profession. One that you must contend with, and one that we need to do everything that we can to understand. And I'm telling you that it sounds to me like you're losing your mind. That's no reasonable person is going to take that into consideration.
All right, well, then you don't know anything about the world of a pilot, you know. And
I know a little bit about the world of a pilot because my brother is a pilot.
Oh, well, your brother's a pilot. Well, I'm sure you know all. Okay. Did your brother tell you every morning and every night that he would... Did your brother inform you every day and every time he noticed he had the drip? No, I don't think he did. Thank you.
What a pig.
Boy, did he hung up.
Yeah, he did.
What an absolute... Art, if you're listening, and I know you are, you're a pig.
Art, I have to agree with Margaret. That was a very piggish thing to go out on.
What did he say?
He's talking about the drip.
So, in other words, all the airline pilots of America... are suffering from burning diarrhea. They're suffering from a hangover, headaches, and now gonorrhea.
Yes.
And there's Phil laughing. Let that go on record. There's Phil laughing.
Yeah, it was funny. It was very funny. And I apologize that it struck me as funny, but what do you want me to say? It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and we're very, very grateful you're with us tonight, and we'll be back on the other side here with a little bit of a discussion of the evolution debate, also this castaway guy. I mean, what's the story with this cat, the guy that was supposedly went across the ocean?
Oh, that nut, yeah.
Yeah, that nut. And a whole lot of other stuff here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Hey, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and tune in, and the live stream on our website, if you so desire. You know, we have 2 levels of subscriptions at philhendryshow.com. We have our all access, or we have our audio only, which is our daily podcast, as well as the archives to our show that go back over 15 years, an incredible amount of radio shows for you to listen to. So vast is this archive that it took months to migrate this from the old website platform to the new one, because we had a site redesign back in late 2012. In addition to that, we have still show logs that we are still updating, and it's been quite a quite a job. I think we got like 3 years left of show logs to get done. So it's fascinating, man. It's fascinating, and it's also kind of crazy. But and also we had to fix a whole bunch of busted links. It was nuts, man. And our good friends at LEG, which is the Levity Entertainment guys who oversee our social media, as well as help develop the website, as well as help produce some of the podcasts that we do, as well as the guys that will be in business with us when we continue our one-man show. These guys, I think we all learned a lesson, you know, in migrating the old material to the new website. It's been... it's nuts, and like I say, it's a huge undertaking, but we're really happy that at least we got all this stuff over there. So join us at philhenryshow.com as a backstage pass member with a BSP, and this month, up until the 15th, if you get a one-year subscription to our website, you get a free one-year gift subscription, which you can give to a Valentine. Margaret has recommended, with a straight face, that women not give this to men, you know.
Phil, I'm just saying, you can do whatever you want, ladies, but if you're giving a man a backstage pass, do you understand?
Yes. Yeah, I don't think there are any women out there that made that leap that you just made.
Oh, is that? I happen to be a woman, and if I'm giving Frank a backstage pass, believe me, he knows what that means. I know what he knows. It's too late to take it back, and then you're stuck.
What do you mean you're stuck?
Do I have to explain this?
What do you mean that you're stuck?
If I say to Frank, here's a backstage pass, and...
Yeah, but it's a backstage pass to our website.
Yeah. Well...
Well, I'll tell you something.
Why don't you get Bobby on the phone, Bud? Her number, I think it changed.
Can I, you know, line up the guests, if you don't mind?
Yeah, Bud, ask Phil if we can have Bobby,
Can we get Bobby on?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Get her on the phone. I think the number changed. I've got it here in my purse somewhere.
All right. So we're going. I'd like to talk to these two guys about, if you don't mind, the debate online. If that's okay with you, could you turn that stuff down, Bud? Before I really do turn to Satan as my one true God.
Sorry.
All right, Bobby Dooley joining us here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Bobby, how are you? And by the way, great job with your return to the podcast.
Oh, thank you very much, Phil. It's been an awful lot of fun.
Bobby, this is Margaret. Would you give Steve a backstage pass for Valentine's Day?
What, you're talking about the Phil Henry website?
Yes.
No, I wouldn't. And the reason, Phil...
Why not?
Well, the reason is because even though you can say to him, here, Steve, is a backstage pass to the Phil Henry website, he still is going to look at me with that hopeful look.
Exactly. And when a man looks at you with the big, hopeful eyes, what are you supposed to say? No?
Are you kidding me? And in other words, it's a subscription to my website.
It doesn't matter, Phil.
It doesn't matter. I've been trying to tell him that. He's going to say, oh, I know this is to the Phil Henry website, but... And then the eyes get bigger and the sort of please and...
Yeah, the pleading starts. The crying, the... Beating the fist on the floor.
Beating the fist on the floor.
Yes, beating the fist on the floor. And then when you say no, it's to the Phil Henry website. And then they'll say, like Steve will say, yes, but doesn't it also include some other fringe benefit? And I'll say, no, it doesn't. And that Steve's here. Come here for a minute, honey. My husband's here.
Good. I want to... And get Frank on the phone.
Wait, hold on for a minute.
Get Frank on the phone, Phil.
Well, Steve, honey, if I gave you a backstage pass, what would you think?
Well, I'm going to think about a lot of things. So I'm done.
Say it again.
I'm going to think about a lot of stuff.
He said he's going to think about a lot of stuff. And what would you be thinking about?
Well, I've got to get a backstage. I'm also hoping for the backstage access.
So that's your euphemism for...
Yeah.
See, so he knows he's getting the backstage pass to your website. But he's also looking for backstage access.
Yes. I wonder if Frank... Is that Frank?
Yeah, I'm Frank right now.
But let me talk to my husband, because I think that this is very, very important. Frank, honey, are you there?
Yeah, Frank Ray.
Frank, it's Margaret.
Yeah.
We're on with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley.
Yeah, hey, Bobby, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, Frank. How are you doing?
Yeah.
I want to ask you something, honey. If I gave you a backstage pass to the Phil Henry website, what would you think?
Well, you're giving me a backstage pass to her website. I'm thinking, okay, I've got a backstage pass to her, but am I going to get backstage access to him, meaning you? And, you know.
Well, that's exactly what I said, Frank, to Phil. I said, to you guys, it means possible backstage access.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Take it easy, will you, Dooley? Because every time you start laughing, I wanna drive to where you are and slap you so hard that your face forgets which skull it belongs on. God, I want to hurt you.
All right, take it easy here, gentlemen. So we're clear. You two women think the backstage pass is too risky to give to your husbands because they may think it means something extra, backstage access. And my point is that you do not represent all women. In fact, I would hope you don't represent all women, because that would mean that no women would buy these for their husbands. I think it's a fantastic gift for Valentine's Day, the backstage pass to the Phil Henry website.
Well, Phil, that's great for you. Speak for yourself, okay? You know, speak for yourself.
Yeah, well, you know, Phil, Yeah.
Phil, if you want to start giving out backstage passes, speak for yourself. Oh, God.
Ow.
I'll belt you.
But I think that we're all in agreement here, you know?
Phil, it's Frank Ray. I don't mean to give you a hard time. I think that if these two women want to give Dooley and I a backstage pass... certainly, I hope springs eternal, but I don't think it means that women shouldn't give the backstage pass to the Phil Henry website to their husbands. I think she'll really appreciate it, ladies, if you give it to her. She's a good man. She's a good husband, I'm sure. And you gals out there should award her as the good husband that she is with the backstage pass.
Thank you very much, Frank. I appreciate that.
I like the gender...
All right, hang up on... thank you very much, Steve and Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
And, all right, Frank Gray, thank you. And, Margaret, thank you. And let's just hope that hasn't destroyed our Valentine's Day promotion and giveaway.
Well, Phil, I mean, are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Let's hope it hasn't destroyed it. You two coming on here and going, well, you know, I don't know. It might be the backstage access. And then we have Frank there saying, yes, give it to your husband. She deserves it. All right, coming back with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard and their debate on creationism versus evolution, right?
Yeah, I'm going to take the evolution side, and Bud's going to take creation.
Yeah, that's with the side what believes that God made it.
Yeah, I understand. We'll be back here with that and other exciting and remarkable things here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and tune in. Famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Joining me now, my close personal friends, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. We're going to talk about the Bill Nye the Science Guy and Ken Ham debate. I don't know if you guys were even aware that this took place with so much going on around the weekend, the passing of the great actor Philip Seymour Hoffman. We didn't do much talking about it. We had a little bit of a discussion of that with Doug Danger yesterday. He was just talking about drugs. So was Dr. Jim Sadler.
Well, Dr. Sadler, I thought, was out of line, and I called him up after the show, and I said, who cares about your morphine addict wife? And in that ridiculous Elmer Fudd voice of his, he's saying to me, well, how dare you, you know, and I said, you and Elmer Fudd have yourselves a very nice marriage.
Oh, you didn't say that to him.
Yes, I did.
You know the guy's got a speech impediment because of that cheetah training accident.
Oh, cheetah training. Do you buy that?
Yes, I buy it. But why wouldn't I?
So he got that trying to French kiss a cheetah.
He's doing a cheetah training act.
He lost part of his tongue, yeah, trying to French kiss. I don't know, but...
Yeah, there you go. There's the answer. I don't know. But the fact that he's bringing up that morphine addict wife of his talking about the degenerate that she is... I thought it set back the debate on drug addiction a long way.
All right. Well, fortunately, we're not talking about that right now. I would simply say two things, and I kind of alluded to it yesterday. Philip Seymour Hoffman, for me, was a stellar actor. And it wasn't so much in parts like Capote, which is no doubt his crowning achievement as an actor. That was a great, great movie, great performance. But for me, I love the preacher that he played in Cold Mountain. I love that little production assistant guy that he played in Boogie Nights. I love that goofy, frat boy that he played in Twister. I loved the drag queen he played in Flawless. The personal assistant in Magnolia, Jason Robards' character. I mean, these are the little touches. These are the performances and the characters that he created that weren't maybe so, evident as Capote that I really liked and great actor, obviously. And now when you talk about addiction and the cruelty I think that some people have had toward him has been uncalled for. You know, like I said, addiction is a physical, biochemical malady, not unlike diabetes, not unlike other physical conditions. People that are addicts, people that have this problem are biochemically different from the rest of us. They have an inability to handle this stuff. It's not a character issue, you know.
Yeah, well, you're giving an opinion now, Mr. Henry, and they should have a priest or somebody to talk about it.
I don't need a... What do you mean a priest?
Don't you think I ought to have like a pastor on something?
No, I don't think I need a pastor. I don't need a priest or a pastor to tell me the moral failings of... I don't need that. I'm just saying, let's just say this, you know. It's to me... Okay, just to me, and I think there's a lot of people that'll back this up. It's a physical malady, and this is not a moral failing. And when I read some of the stuff that people comment following the passing of a guy like Philip Seymour Hoffman or anybody else that had a drug problem, and they take that as an opportunity to begin to excoriate that person, to call them a bad father, to call them a bad husband, to call them a moral degenerate, to call them a this and a that, I don't really see somebody that has an issue with the morality of that person. I'm hearing a lot of sour grapes from people that think they would have done better with that guy's life had they had it. And, that's pretty pathetic. So,
Well, isn't that a mouthful?
Well, what do you think?
No, I agree, but...
Well, I think that given the fact of that God created, which what I believe... that God created a world, that there should have been more of us gone to church.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
I see. So if Philip Seymour Hoffman went to church more often, he wouldn't have had a drug addiction problem.
I don't think so.
See, that's nuts. It flies in the face of all the evidence. It flies in the face of all the evidence, man. Now, I will tell you this. Alcoholics Anonymous, the most successful drug addiction program in history, Alcoholics Anonymous, has probably kept more people off of a destructive drug, in that case, alcohol, and the AA program, probably used in Narcotics Anonymous and other 12-step programs, probably kept more people off of destructive drugs than any other program. And that is really a situation where you're changing your focus and your avocational interest to helping other addicts. It's not a spiritual thing necessarily, or maybe it is, but it certainly isn't something having to do with, becoming necessarily a better person. It does mean that you're changing your focus away from getting high or drunk to helping other addicts stay clean. That's the number one thing that a 12-step program does to keep people sober. You got to help other addicts. So...
Well, isn't that, though, the morality that you're talking about? The morality, you see, as opposed to just the morality.
What?
What do you mean?
I'm talking about the morality. Never mind.
Okay.
Oh, don't give me the rolled eyeball. That really...
You see, you rolled the eyeball there, Phil.
I don't care if I rolled my eyeballs. I don't know what she's talking about. All right.
Who is she?
You. Margaret.
Thank you.
All right, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard, you saw the debate today between Bill Nye, the Science Guy, and Ken Ham. And I know that there's some sound effects that you want to get set up, Bud, and you do, Robert. You too, I should say, Robert, to demonstrate or to illustrate, I should say, some of the points that you're going to make. Bud, why don't you start?
All right. Well,
right here.
These are my notes. I think that...
Can you get that out of my face?
What?
That notes are in my face.
Oh. I think that Bill Nye, the science guy, is wrong. I think that there was creation. And God made... But see, what happened was God made man. But when God made man and Adam and Eve, they weren't like the man that we... That is now. The man that is now is like, well, what we are. But the man that was then was slightly different and maybe lower down the tree, you know.
Well, what tree?
The tree that we're on.
Yeah, because he was saying like about...
I'll do it. And a tree was where Eve met the snake. But Adam and Eve then, when they met the snake, which was the devil...
Yeah.
They were totally different. So here's the devil. The devil had to talk and people talk. And back then, this was the devil. That's the devil talking, and that's Eve talking back.
Yeah.
So that's the devil. And Eve goes, and then devil.
So in other words, we were monkeys.
No, not necessarily, but that was the language. See, and then the devil goes, I can make you as good as God. And then Eve goes, yeah? Give me that apple, like that.
Jeez.
What?
Oh, that was just great.
Okay, no, that's okay. Robert?
Yeah, well, I disagree. I think that we did evolve. We evolved from a lower form of animal, and that lower form of animal was the ape-like or monkey-like creature. I don't know if it sounded like this. I tend to think that because we are a human being and we come from an animal that evolved into a human, that we might sound a different. So I think the early man would say, you know, and then that would be the devil talking to us and we'd answer back.
You think we sound like a cow?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, so what you clowns have basically done...
What do you mean, clowns?
I mean, what you clowns have basically come up with is the way that we sounded way back when the devil was talking to us, or in your case, Robert, way back before we had language?
Yeah, before man had language, which was the great leap forward, and that was 500,000 years ago, we're sitting around a dinner, hey, would you pass the salt?
That's ridiculous. You don't know if it sounded like that. Could be anything.
Well, it was either that or...
Will you get out of here with that? All right, so where does that leave us?
Where does that leave us? It leaves us, thank God we know how to talk good now.
Yeah, I thought it would sound like a chicken.
Okay, so...
Because you said it, the great leap forward. Anyway, Bill Nye, the science guy, believe in evolution. The other guy, Ken Ham, or as I say, Ken, well, better not.
Yeah, no more ham jokes.
He believed in creationism, and I believe that when the devil tempted Eve and said... I mean, when the devil tempted Eve, she basically said to him,
get out of here.
That's how I think. That's how I roll.
That's how you roll, huh?
Yeah.
Why I had you idiots watch this debate, I'll never know. I'll never know.
Well, what do you want us to say, man? I mean, it's a debate between these two guys are scientists, man. I don't know what they're talking about.
Well, I mean, did you watch? I mean, did you understand any of it?
Yeah, sort of did, but most of it was just a lot of... Weird stuff.
Well, what do you mean weird stuff?
Well, one guy had a lungfish, the other guy had another fish. Now talking about, I don't know, they're talking about the ark.
And what did they say about the ark?
That one guy, Bill Nye, said it's impossible.
Well, that's probably of all of the so-called arguments that go back and forth between creationists and evolutionists. The one that's the most interesting, I think, is the one having to do with the ark, because if indeed there was this flood, and there might very well have been a flood, there's all kinds of evidence geologically that we had glacial conditions that quite possibly melted into, you know, then maybe there was a flood and maybe there was an ark, but all those animals, I don't know. Phil Henry Show. famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, online, of course, at TuneIn. And, you know, our podcast, the Bobby Dooley podcast, we've inaugurated a new podcast, which is The Injustice Files with Steve Bozell. And that's a trip and a half.
Yes, the Steve Bozell Injustice File, look, Phil, I don't want to keep putting down what you're offering, but it is vulgar beyond words.
Well, I have to agree, only because he was talking about the penis popsicle.
Yeah.
Okay, are we going to get into a discussion of this, or what?
Well, why is he talking about the popsicle shaped like a penis?
Because it was a lawsuit that he filed against his own wife. His wife had purchased these for a... What are you looking at, bud?
That used to be a guy right there. Right there, see? Up there, that was a guy.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute.
That guy right there?
Yeah, that was a guy.
Are you kidding me, man? I'd be all over that like white on rice.
I'd be on that in a New York minute. Are you crazy or something?
Okay, we'll talk about that.
Would you knuckleheads... What are you talking about?
That was a guy.
That was a guy. Yeah, uh-huh. And, Bud, you used to be a girl.
Yeah, I bet you was.
Yeah.
Hold on. Can I finish up what it was that we were talking about here? The Steve Bozell podcast. It's called The Injustice Files with Steve Bozell. You can hear it periodically on The World of Phil, our new podcast, which is available for free daily on iTunes and, of course, on our website. And that is a free offering from the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, Piers Morgan is talking to a young lady right now. What's the story, Bud?
All I know is that it said that was a guy.
Okay, so she was a guy at one time.
Yeah, so she was 18.
What's her name?
Janet Mock.
Janet Mock. All right. Now, I think they're talking to her about the... Are they talking to her about the Woody Allen thing, or...
Well, I don't know, but she's beautiful, absolutely gorgeous.
Okay, so she's a beautiful girl now, Bud, so what's the problem?
Well, I mean, the problem is that, I mean...
What? But you don't want to go out with her?
No.
Why wouldn't you go out with her, man?
Are you going to go out with her?
Well, not really.
Why not?
Okay, you guys don't want to go out with her because she used to be a guy. Is that the whole thing here?
Yeah, I mean, no guy wants to go out. It'd be like going out with a guy.
But it ain't going out with a guy. It's a girl. She's a girl. Right? You can't accept that, huh?
It's very difficult to... I mean,
well, let me jump in and try to break the stalemate here. She's a very beautiful young lady, but she's essentially a... Wouldn't you say she's essentially a guy?
No, I would not. I look at. I know the reason for the this gender reassignment surgery, as they say. I know the reason for this is that there are a profound psychological problems experienced by some people who feel they literally are the wrong gender. And this surgery has made all the difference in the world for some people. Now, you know, if that person who has now been reassigned in terms of gender is now a woman, and they always thought they were a woman, they just had the body of a man, and they you know, who am I to argue with that?
Well, you don't have to argue with it, but are you going to buy her a cocktail or him or
her?
All right, are you going to go? Excuse me, sir, or not, sir? May I buy you a cocktail and have a dance? I don't think so.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
No, to guys like you, you wouldn't do that.
Well, what does that mean, guys like me?
Because you guys are very insecure. Okay.
Well, Phil, would you?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. I saw her, and I thought that she was on TV to talk about either the Philip Seymour Hoffman thing or Woody. I don't know what she was, but all I knew was one thing. That was a she, okay? And I even thought, wow, what a knockout. I mean, she is gorgeous, you know?
God, you're saying a guy is gorgeous.
It ain't a guy. It's a girl, man. That's a girl.
Well, yeah, but still, don't you feel weird?
No, I don't feel weird. Not at all.
All right, here's the big question. Will you or will you not have sex with it?
It?
With the.
What do you mean, the? With her?
Yes, with her. Of course I know it's a her, but I'm trying to give you the very essence, as the general was saying. Would you have sex with thou?
With him. With her.
Him?
her.
Him.
Him.
Her.
I'm going to kill somebody. Okay, there is Janet Mock was a boy until age 18. And what's that?
That's her as a boy.
No, it isn't, because that's her there as a boy. That's her, and that's a guy that's with her.
Yeah, that's the guy that she was.
How can she be in a picture with herself?
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh.
Yeah, that's her with her current boyfriend, I think.
Do you think he knows?
Are you kidding? She's on TV talking about it. Yeah, I think she knows.
I don't know. There's certain pictures.
Well, you know, Phil, she is beautiful. There's no question about it. But there was a certain picture they just showed a moment ago, and the lighting was just right, and she looked like Ray Lewis.
You know...
Yeah.
No. The lighting was just right, and she looked... It was either Ray Lewis or Sugar Ray Leonard, and that's where I've got a... That's where I have the problem.
Well, your imagination is running wild with you, General.
Oh, a moment ago, you were agreeing with us.
Wait a minute. I agree with Margaret. Your imagination, if you didn't know that Janet Mock at one time was a male, you wouldn't have... What do you mean the lighting was right and she looked like Ray Lewis?
Well, she looked... You see, you're saying that my mind is playing with me. My mind doesn't play with me. I play with my own mind.
Yeah, you tell him, General.
Thank you. I take my mind... Well, I don't take my mind out.
Yeah, but you don't want to say you take out your brain and play with it.
I don't take my brain out and play with it. I'll tell you that much.
Wait. I just want to be clear here. This Janet Mock she's on the show here. She's written a book about having been a man or a boy until she was 18. Now, when I first saw her, and as I see her right now, she's a beautiful woman. There's no question. Had I not seen the subject line here that she was a boy until she was 18, if she was just on here to talk about, you know, acting or modeling, I'd say, well, isn't she gorgeous and she's a woman? And you guys would have said the same thing. Now you're telling me all of a sudden that because you know she was a boy until she was 18, there was a picture there, Phil, and hey, the lighting was right and she looked like Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah, well, that's a coincidence, but yeah, she do.
Take a look. There she is there. Take a look at that, man. You telling me that she doesn't look hot?
I mean, she does look hot, man, but now I know those boobs is fake.
Her boobs are fake. Gee, that's a real shock. Real women never get fake boobs. What?
Well,
all right, look, Henry, you've got all the right answers, but you don't have the real right answers. You've got all the right answers, but you don't have the right questions to the right answers. You know?
No, I don't know. No, you guys don't know. You guys have no answer for what I'm saying. I'm saying, take a look at her. She's gorgeous. What's your problem?
But you haven't answered the question. Would you have sex with...
You can't even call her a her.
I know she's a her, but it's...
You know, Margaret, I'm surprised. You're the liberal.
I know it's a her. I'm saying it is also a him-it.
Yes, I agree. It's a him-it.
I'm going to have to, you know, call all your liberal friends, Margaret.
No, you're not going to do any such thing.
Well, why not? I call them all up and say, hey, Margaret was on the show the other night, and she couldn't bring herself to call a transgender female a her. It was a him-it.
No, I'm saying this in the context of these two brain-dead idiots who you assigned to listen to that evolution debate, and now they're weighing in on this.
Well, they sound more intelligent than you do. Yes, the answer is yes, I would have sex with her.
But wait a minute, I'm saying once you found out that she used to be a him and it him, or...
She used to be a him.
She used to be a him.
Yes, I would.
You'd do that only to prove a point.
Yeah, you wouldn't really want to. You'd do it to prove a point.
No, I'm sorry. If she looks as good naked as she does in that dress, I don't care. I don't care.
Wow, man. That's what I call hard up, man.
Oh, is that right? Take a look at that woman. She's about as gorgeous. She's better looking than anything you're going to get. That's the God's truth. You know that.
Yeah, but still.
I have to disagree, Phil. Better looking. So in other words, some chick that looks like Ray Lewis is better. No, I don't think so, my friend. Not at all. She looks exactly like Marvin Gaye.
Well, I'm glad you're all having a good time.
You know, was it you, General, or somebody said that Jesus most likely was black, and Jesus most likely had, you know, in other words, looked more African American, or excuse me, looked more African than Middle Eastern, shall we say, or Semitic. And someone said that most likely Jesus looked like Marvin Gaye. Was that you?
Yes, it was me.
Well, I'm telling you, did everybody look like Marvin Gaye?
I'm telling you that that woman in the right light, with the right, just the right kind of lighting, that woman looks just like Julian Bond.
Who?
Julian Bond. He was my...
All right. That's great. We're going to be back here on the Phil Henry Show to wrap this thing up, because it's just gotten... I stand by what I said. She's gorgeous. Janice Mock. Look her up online, you guys. Take a look at her picture and whatever her story is. I sure as hell don't know. But she's written a book, and she's on the Piers Morgan Show. And I thought he got fired, so I'm way behind the ball on this thing. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I thought Piers Morgan should have been fired if he hadn't been fired.
Didn't I hear that he got canned? Or is that just me having either a nightmare or I don't know what I was doing. I was dreaming about something, man. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. There's a picture of Janet Mock that we just showed here on Phil TV. You talk about a knockout.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Well, thank you so much, bud. World traveler and judge of all women. I mean, look at how beautiful she is.
No, the other thing you said, she's short?
I think as a man, she must have been short because I saw a picture of her standing next to another woman, and the other gal was much taller than her. I don't know if the other woman was just tall. Because I was just saying to Nikki, I had this experience for the second time yesterday. I was at a Starbucks out there near LEG. I was on the west side. And there's a Starbucks, and there's a little kind of a business center there where the guys are. And so I walked across the street, and I went to the Starbucks. And for the second time in my life, I was standing in a line, and everybody was taller than me, including the women.
The women were tall. Now, you're 6 foot.
I'm 6 foot. So everybody in this line was at least 6'1". The females, too. And there were three women in this line. Now, the one directly in front of me was wearing pretty significant heels. But even if she'd been in flats, I think she would have been taller than me. Or maybe the same size. But everybody was taller. And the first thing I thought of was, yeah, the world's changing, man. You know.
Well, wait a minute. You think that things are mutating?
Well, that's it right there. Now, let me just say something. Now you're on to something. The people are getting bigger, and they're getting bigger exponentially. You see, if you look at the old buildings and the old clothing that you can see in some of the museums, you'll see that the people were very small, and they wore little tiny suits and miniature shoes. Have you seen this, Phil?
I've seen, yes, I've been to museums.
Don't blow it off like, well, General, of course, everyone. You understand what I'm saying? That right now, the man and woman that we are is essentially under assault by a new man, a new breed of man, bigger, faster, the brain size most likely larger.
You think the capacity of the brain?
Well, in your case, Bud, yes.
Yes, I would say so, Bud. That's very amusing, Phil.
Yeah.
Wait. But seriously... the brain capacity, that's not the case.
Oh, it's not, is it? You just told me you were standing at a Starbucks and everyone in that building was bigger than you. Now, this is the new man that I'm talking about.
And we've got to be careful.
Because what are you looking at?
I'm looking at you. How about some water?
Look, Phil, I don't have the time.
I don't have the time to fool around with this. I want people to be aware of this.
Hold on. If you say the capacity of the skull is larger to hold a bigger brain, now you're talking about a definite evolutionary jump has taken place, which I do not believe has happened. Otherwise, scientists, doctors, etc., people who keep tabs on those things would tell us. Are we getting taller? Are we getting bigger? Sure, because of the enhancement in food. This happens. Look, I was just in a... I told you, we were just in... I was just in a house... 2 weeks ago, out in Highland Park, a house built in the 20s, I think, although it might have been earlier, and the stairway and the ceiling, everything was smaller, you know.
You were able to get in the house, right?
Yes, I was able to get into the house.
Well, you're talking about smaller.
Did you have to crouch down to get in?
Yes.
No, I'm not talking about a dollhouse, okay?
So you didn't have to crouch to get in, and you did not have to scrunch down?
No, I wasn't scrunched down. I'm saying that in the house, when I went into, when I went upstairs, for instance, the stairs were very, very narrow, like little tiny legs had to go up them, you know?
Aha, right there. That's what I'm talking about. Little teeny legs. Did you see any of the miniature clothing?
Hey, General, I hate to disappoint you, but I wasn't in a hobbit house, okay?
A hobbit house.
I'm not talking about a hobbit house, whatever that... What is a hobbit house? Is that some miniature person?
Yeah, it's a movie, A Hobbit, where they had furry feet. You know, Lord of the Rings.
Oh, get out of here with Lord of the Rings. What do I look like to you, huh? I look like Lewis Carroll, and all I want is a little girl and a corncob pipe, and I think you know what I mean.
No, I don't know what you mean. What's that supposed to mean?
He thinks Lewis Carroll was some kind of a pervert.
Well, the shoe fits.
How dare you? Lewis Carroll did nothing of the sort. And you think I'm some guy with a corncob pipe, huh? You think I'm some kind of a perv? Is that it?
No, I'm saying to you that they... Look, forget about the Hobbit. I'm just telling you that the people were smaller, but it doesn't mean they were a different species, for God's sake. When you're talking about brain capacity and the cranium and all this stuff, you're talking about an evolutionary leap. That's not the case. Now, all I'm saying is, you know, standing in line as I was there at that Starbucks and seeing all the tall people, it dawned on me that, you know, human beings are getting bigger. Look, dude, have you been to a high school football game lately? All you got to do is...
I was watching one. Frank had one on TV the other day, and I thought, my God, look at the size of those apes. And then I realized my own son could very well be one of them because, you know, Jason J. Delmonico is going to play for the middle school team.
Yeah, I know. How tall is your son?
Jason J. Delmonico is 5'3".
5'3"?
Yeah, don't worry about it, Phil. He'll have a growth spurt.
Yeah, growth spurt. He's 5'3". They're going to use him as the football.
That's pretty good, man.
You know, I'd reach across and I'd pull your nose right off your face if I thought it was worth anything.
All right, hold on. He's 5'3".
Yes, he's 5'3". What about it? My son is 5'3", and that kid is solid brick, let me tell you.
And what about between the ears?
Excuse me.
Oh, come on, Margaret. We're having some fun.
No. That's not... You're making fun of a little boy.
Margaret, I'm sorry.
General, I have been treated like... I've been treated like a barrack slut. Go ahead and laugh.
What does she mean about that?
Oh, who knows? I don't think that 5'3". Look, you know, Doug Flutie was short and he was a great quarterback.
Doug Flutie was short. I know how you think.
No, I mean, your son is going to be... I know he's a... Okay.
Does the boy play football?
I think he's on the football team. He's only a middle schooler, so he's going to be a short guy. But anyway, they were all huge, man. And that's kind of a weird thing. When you're 6 feet tall and everybody's taller than you, including the women, you begin to feel like...
Do you feel like that one guy like a Lilliputian?
What's a Lilliputian?
Lilliputian. Okay. That was the Gulliver's Travels, right?
I'm not familiar.
Gulliver's Travels is a famous book about a guy that went traveling, and he lived, and he found a land of little miniature people called the Lilliputians, and they tied him down and everything?
What? What are you talking about?
Hey, look, bud, don't start getting your mind going in dirty, perverted directions. They tied the guy down because he was a giant guy, and they didn't know what to do with him, so he woke up after taking a nap, and they had him tied down on a beach someplace.
Are you sure that's a book?
Yes, it's a book called Gulliver's Travels, man, I think. Ain't that what it's called?
Don't look at me. Not much reading time where I was.
Where were you?
Wouldn't you like to know?
All right, well, yeah, so that was the Lilliputians, and that's where that's at. All right, folks, we're going to see you guys on Thursday Night Live. Tomorrow night we do have tape programming because I'm going to be with Caleb Brown and the group, Caleb Bacon and the group, and the Man School Show. It will be a podcast, including video, and we will be posting shortly details on how you guys can watch that if you'd like tomorrow night. So that will be tomorrow evening. I do encourage you to head on over to our website and stay abreast of what's happening on the Phil Henry Show there, as well as using your backstage pass to access our archives. We're going to be using more and more the live feed feature on the website so we can provide for you free programming, free content, as well as the usual premium content on the website. If there is a live podcast that we want to do, we can do it there. But please be aware of the fact that we have that option as well. And be looking for more and more content from The Phil Henry Show over on YouTube. All right, that's it for all of us here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Have a very, very safe night. And don't forget, in our online store, the Rudy Canoza Je T'aime Lingerie women's T-shirt available in the online store now.